Now, with that, we could almost have a prayer and go home, couldn't we? Well, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Genesis and appreciate that testimony of experiencing God. And again, let me encourage you, if you have not taken it, to seriously, seriously consider doing so. Well, we're in a series on temptation, the truth about temptation. Wouldn't you love to never be tempted again? Wouldn't you love in your life to never face or have to face another temptation and just be able to know that from this day forth, you don't have to worry, they're all going to be over with, and you don't have to fight another fight? Well, there's one serious problem with that. It's not true, it's not accurate. As long as you live in this earthly body, you're going to have to struggle with the reality of temptation. Temptation's going to come by every one of our lives. Young people know exactly what temptations come by them, and to most young people, the temptation is sex. The lure of sex and the craving of sex and the pull of sex. And then in adults, it's in other things, but can be that as well. Every one of us face the reality of temptation. But I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 as we're in this series. Last week we shared with you temptation, the big picture. And this morning we're going to look at temptation, who is to blame? In Genesis chapter 3 is the story of Adam and Eve, and I want you to listen carefully to what takes place in their lives, the very first couple in the very best garden in all the world, and listen to what God does and what happens in this passage of Scripture. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, listen to this verse very carefully. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. When you face temptations in your life, let me ask you a question on the very beginning of this message, because it's the title of the message this morning. Who is to blame? Now, you face some temptation in life, and some temptation comes by your life, whether it's in one avenue or the other. What is the thing that you most are prone to do? Well, the reality of our lives is this. Every one of us are tempted, and I shared with you last week why you're tempted. You're created by God. You're created to be loved by God, and God loves you. Satan cannot stand mankind. He can't stand a born-again believer. And Satan is going to do everything he can to hit your life. He's going to hit it with everything. He's going to hit it with sex. He's going to hit it with lust. He's going to hit it with coveting. He's going to hit it with all sorts of things, because his goal for your life is to defeat you and to devastate you. But whenever it comes to temptation, you and I need to ask a real sobering question, and it's this. Because this is an area where so many people can never get off the treadmill, and they repeat over and over and over and over, and it's like they can never have any victory when it comes to temptation, because when it comes to this area of blame. And so whenever you and I look at the area of blame, we need to understand what the Bible says, what God says, what His truth says whenever it comes to this reality of blame. Now, every one of us are going to be tempted. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. It does not matter your age. Oftentimes, we adults, we talk about teens being tempted, when the truth about it is, you know you're tempted. You know you're tempted in what areas you're tempted. But the issue is, what do you do with the temptation once they hit your life? Do you find somebody to blame? Well, here's the reality whenever it comes to temptation. Every one of us, whenever we're tempted, that is the default nature of your being that you find someone to blame. You know, when you look at the very passage of Scripture, you know, whenever it looks in Genesis chapter 3, one of the things that Adam did after God realized what he had done and Eve had done, God came walking in the cool of the day, and you listen very carefully to what Adam says. Why have you done this? And listen to what Adam says. This woman that you gave me, she is the blame. Men, do your wives do that to you today? Wives, do your men do that to you today? Well, you know what, honey? We wouldn't be in this mess if it had not been for you. We wouldn't be in our financial situation. We wouldn't be in the situation we're in. We wouldn't be in our emotional situation if you had not just done something. Now, every one of us have the same default nature. Not a one of us are immune to this. Every one of us, and the reason I'm saying that, somebody will say, well, you know what? I don't do that. Yes, you do, because that is your human default nature. There's always going to be somebody in your life that you're going to try to find somebody to blame. And in the very opening passage of Scripture, you know, you look at it, Adam and Eve, they were sinless. They were in the very best garden. And sometimes when we think about a garden, we think about a small area. They was in a beautiful garden, a wonderful garden, a plush garden, grandeur, beauty, majestic in every way. And the Bible makes it very clear it was lush. And when they saw the tree, and the Bible says it was desirable to make one wise, the Bible says they took of it and they did eat. Now, in the very midst of the garden, Adam and Eve were tempted. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. The first couple that was perfect and sinless in every way, they were tempted. If you're not owning up to your temptations, you need to stop and start owning up to your temptations. Let me tell you why before I go any further. If you don't own up to temptation, you will fall. One of the greatest joys and freedoms that God brought me to in my own life is, Benny, you're going to have to own your temptation. And here's why. As long as you can shift it, then you don't build a defense, you don't prepare your life, you don't prepare your mind, you don't prepare your spirit, and that's why a lot of people fall. Let me tell you this. If you fall morally, sexually, in any way, here is one reality about your life. It may not be that you're not a Christian, it may not be that you don't go to church. Here's one thing you did not do. You did not accept ownership that you are tempted regularly, consistently, ongoingly. And you see, every one of us are going to be tempted. Every one of us are going to be tempted till the day we die. And so whenever it comes to temptation, you know, the Bible says in Genesis 3:12, listen to what Adam says. And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Listen. Not only did Adam and Eve blame one another, but Adam basically said, God, it's really your fault. Part of the reality in temptation is this blame game. You know, not only do we blame one another, but sometimes we'll just blame God. Well, you know, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in. Now, I want you to listen very carefully throughout this message, because if you don't listen, you can't be set free. So, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. Adam, one of the first things he did, he dodged personal responsibility. One of the things in your life, you will never gain victory if you dodge personal responsibility. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't want to accept personal responsibility for what he did. And second of all, the Bible says he blamed his temptation on somebody else. Have you ever got yourself in a mess and you blamed it on, maybe it's your parents? It's not my fault. If mom and dad hadn't done this, or if my husband or my wife, or all these other things. And you see, that's the reality of what happens when it comes to temptation and falling. You know, I'm sure that probably David, and when he had relations with Bathsheba, he probably said to himself, well, if she hadn't been outside bathing at that particular time, I wouldn't have seen her. And if I hadn't have seen her, I wouldn't have yearned for her and summoned her to the palace and then had all sorts of problems because of their sexual intimacy. And you see, whenever we're tempted, there are so many things we want to do. You know, we blame one another. We want to blame God. And the Bible makes it very clear. You know, here's what Adam and Eve were doing. Adam blamed God. This woman you gave me. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. Sometimes in the heat of your temptations, you may not say it, but you really regret what your spouse said or your husband said, your wife said, because you honestly believe they're to blame. And you see, there is never any victory whenever it comes to blaming and temptation. And one of the things that you need to understand whenever you're tempted, you will be tempted to dodge your responsibility. One of the realities of temptation is you'll dodge your responsibility. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. It's not their fault. It's amazing how many people will fall in one way or the other, but it's not their fault. For example, a husband falls emotionally and morally and sexually, and usually it's like this. Well, Pastor, if you just understood what my wife was like, she never listened to me, she never gave me the time of day, and she just basically ran me off, and so I just could never have any fellowship with her, and I finally found a woman that would listen to me. And you know what happens? It's amazing how we try to rationalize things. Or a wife says this, and you know, my husband's neglected me, he doesn't come home anymore, and he doesn't pay me any attention, and if he would have paid me attention. Now, yes, there may be some things that happen that lead to some other things, but listen to me very carefully. One of the things that Satan never wants you to do is accept ownership to your temptations and sins, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. But right now, here's the reality. One of the things that happens in our life whenever it comes to temptation is we just want to blame somebody else. We want to dodge personal responsibility. And you see, when temptations come, usually we blame the people we love the most. When temptation comes by your life and you fall and you blunder and you sin, it is usually the people that we love the most that we blame. Well, you're why we're in this financial fix. Honey, if you could work more, if you could work harder, if you could do more, if you could do this and could do that and all sorts of things, you know, that's exactly what happens. And you see, listen. There is a goal that Satan has behind the blame game. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Satan does not want you to blame somebody else. It's not random. He is not accidentally wanting you to do it. I want you to listen to me very carefully. And I want you to look at this direction I know you're listening. There is a goal behind the blame game. And here's the goal. Satan knows this. As long as you live blaming somebody else, you can never have freedom before God. And so here's what he does. It's never your fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And you see, some people say, why do I never have freedom? Why do I never have joy? Why do I never have tranquility in my life? The reason could very well be that when you've been tempted and you've fallen, why do you keep blaming other people? Why do you keep blaming it on your environment? Well, if society was better, listen to me very carefully. Do we live in a wicked society? Yes. Is society going to be wicked until the day Jesus comes? Yes, it is. Listen, if you say, well, when society changed, then I'm going to change, then you're in a mess. Because here's the reality. Jesus makes it clear that we're going to live in a wicked world until he comes again. So you are banking all of your freedom on society changing. And that's never going to happen. And you see, the reality of it is, it's no accident that Satan lures and deceives us into the blame game, because blaming leads to bondage. Let me give you an example. Every one of you that are a child of God, saved by the grace of God, go back to that day, that time, that moment in which you invited Jesus Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. When you did that, you had to stop blaming your life on somebody else. And you accepted the fact you're a sinner. Amen? And you bowed before holy God, accepting ownership that you were a sinner. I can remember when I was 7 years old, I bowed my head and I said, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit if I die right now, I'll go to hell. I ask you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. You know what happened? Let me tell you what happened, and you know what happens. When you accepted ownership, freedom. When you accepted the ownership in your life, There was a wonderful freedom that took place. You realize that God wasn't going to jump on you. You see, one of Satan's biggest lies, when you get on your knees and accept blame for your sins, a lot of times we just live believing, well, God's going to jump on me and he's going to pounce on me. I never will forget one time when I was in college, the Lord convicted me of something that I had done, a sin that I had committed. You say, what was it, Pastor? God knows, and I don't even recall what it was because it's been forgiven. I got down on my knees, and I was getting ready to ask the Lord to forgive me, and you know what I was expecting the Lord to do? I was going to name it to God, and I knew that just as sure as I named that sin to God, he was going to zap me. You know what I'm talking about? Have you been ready for a zapping? You know what I'm talking about. You name a sin before God, and you think, God's going to zap me. That's a lie straight out of hell, and here's why. God loves to set people free. Amen? Listen, when I take ownership of my temptations, when I take ownership, you know, there's a wonderful freedom that takes place in my life. And you see, all who are in bondage today, if you're in bondage to an addiction, if you're in bondage to a habit, if you're in bondage to something in your life, let me tell you why you are still in bondage. It is because you will not take ownership of where you are. If you are in bondage, it's not God's fault. Listen, the Bible says he came that every man could have life, that every man could have life abundantly. And there is not a single person on the face of the earth that God does not want them to live a life of joy, tranquility, absolute exhilaration before him. But you know why so many don't? It's not my fault, God. My home life, my situation, my finances, my life is the way it is. It's not my fault. And we live blaming one another. We live blaming, and what happens is this. We wonder why the Christian life is not exciting. We wonder why we're not having any joy, any excitement in the Christian life. When Jesus said, I came that you could have life. Listen, there is a wonderful joy about accepting ownership for your sins. And whenever you accept ownership for times of temptation and falling into temptation, and you get on your knees before God and you say, Lord God, I am not passing the buck to my wife. I am not passing the buck to my husband. I am going to get on my knees and I'm going to accept ownership. Let me tell you what happens. I know I've done it. I've been there. When you get on your knees and you say, Lord God, I accept ownership, there is a joy. There is an exhilaration, there is a tranquility that is given to your spirit. You know why? Because you've done exactly what the Father says. And that's why Satan don't want you to accept the blame. He wants you to always find somebody else to blame, and that's always going to be the reality in temptation. And so he gives us a number of methods, a number of ways to blame. Not only is blame a reality in temptation, but just look at some of the paths we choose. Now, from the very first chapter in Genesis, all the way through the Bible, mankind's always been choosing somebody else to blame. Mankind's been looking for somebody else to blame. If your home life is not right, if your marriage is not right, there's a good probability that you're blaming your personal disposition on your spouse. And I'll show you in a moment how that can change and how you can begin today to have peace and tranquility in your life. But sadly, so many people yearn to be free, but here's what happens. You know, they consider their freedom an impossibility. Now, some of you even think today, well, you know, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. That's easy for you to say. I want you to listen to me real carefully. I live in a real world just like you live. I face situations just like you face. You know, there's situations or circumstances that happen to every one of our lives. And so here's what happens. Satan wants you to blame. And just look at some of the methods that he used. And one of the things that he wants us to do, he wants to blame our weakness in temptation on others. You know, you blame your weakness. For example, you lose your cool. You get angry. You get mad. And you just let everything. Well, if my husband hadn't said that, listen very carefully. You will never have freedom in your life if you're always blaming your spouse. You'll never have freedom if you blame your husband. You'll never have freedom if you blame your wife. It's not your mom's fault, your dad's fault, society's fault. Listen, if it was their fault, then God would hold them accountable. But how's it going to stack up when God calls us one by one before his presence and we're accountable? And you see, one of the things that Adam and Eve did, you know, they blamed their temptation on each other. Well, it was the woman's fault. It's the man's fault. God, it's your fault. And you see, what happens is this. You're a young person. Let me just give you an example. You're a young person, and you say, well, you know, I can't help but commit certain things. You know, I have certain appetites and drives and desires. But here's the reality. Every one of us are accountable for our actions, and we choose our actions. And in a moment, we're going to show you that Satan can't make you sin. You see, a lot of times we believe the lie. We can't control ourselves. It's amazing how many people have honestly come to the belief they can't control themselves. We live in a sexually impure society because people say, well, you know what? That's just my drive and desire. That's just something that I sense in my body. But one thing that happens in our life, we blame our weakness on somebody else. And another thing, we blame it on our own personal design. I'll give you an example. Person that really gets hot and gets mad and they lose their cool all the time. I don't know how many times I've heard people say something like this. That's just the way I'm made. Listen very carefully. I challenge you to prove that by the Word of God. You can't prove it. And you see, we can be so deceived and so tricked about ourselves that we don't have any victory. And some of you, it's been a long time since you've had victory. You know how I can tell? I look in your eyes. And there's no joy, there's no excitement, there's no laughter. God didn't save you to moan and groan. He said, I saved you that you could have life. Charlotte has the most fun in life because she laughs at me a lot. And sometimes I get tickled at her too. She was asking me about a certain personality the other day. She said, oh, I hope they didn't die. And person been gone a long time. You know, we all have moments like that. But listen, God made you to enjoy life. God made you so you could have life, an abundant life. And listen, what happens is this, and I say this especially to young people, Satan is going to tell you, you can't help but be, you know, sexually active. You've got to be promiscuous. After all, you've got certain needs and desires and drives and appetites. But listen to me very carefully. Satan himself knows he can't make you do one solitary thing. And I'll show you that in just a moment. And a lot of people think, well, you know what? I just can't help it. Oh, yeah, you can. The Bible says in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife basically said this to him, I want you to go to bed with me. And the essence was, let's go to bed and have sex. And the Bible says that Joseph wouldn't even be with her. And you see, a second weakness is, you know, our personal design. I can't help but lose my cool. Don't you dare answer this out loud, but how many of you have said, you know what, I just can't help myself. That's just the way I am. Don't you answer that out loud. I'll show you in just a moment why that don't work. But you see, another thing that Satan does is this. We blame our area of weakness on temptation and on our environment. You know, sometimes we blame friends and we blame society. Well, that's just the way the world is anymore. Yes, it is. Well, let me ask you a question. Has Almighty God changed? Has His power changed? That's real weak. You don't really believe it, do you? Your answer was very weak. Has Almighty God changed? Then let me ask you a question. His power to work in you, to give you all the strength, power, energy that you need in everyday life, in every given day, is the same as it has been for centuries ago. We know that. But you see, when a person blames society or blames friends, we find somebody to blame. And fourth, we can blame our area of weakness on God. Well, God, if you hadn't made me this way, if you just hadn't made me this way, Adam basically said this, Lord, this woman you gave me. Men, let me ask you this question. Don't you answer this out loud, because she will rib you if she's upset. Isn't it real easy to blame your wife rather than accept responsibility? And wives, isn't it real easy to blame your husband rather than accept personal responsibility? Sure it is, because most of my driving is not my fault. I always tell Charlotte, it's not my fault. Well, really, I don't drive very much. She does most of the driving. She just gives me the permission to sit behind the wheel. I will pay for that later. Now listen to me very carefully. Every one of us are tempted. Every one of us are tempted. Now watch what Scripture says. We blame it on God. God, it's your fault. It's not my fault. God, this woman you gave me. Now, men, listen to me very carefully. It is so easy to cop out and refuse to take personal responsibility. You know why? Because nobody sees what goes on in private. And you think, well, nobody. She does. That precious gift of God that God has given you in a wife or a husband. And you see, here's the reality. You know, listen to what James says in James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Listen to what God says. I don't ever tempt you, but you're drawn away and enticed of your own lust. Listen, we blame our area of weakness on Satan. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. One of the most cunning tactics that we use in our day and time is, well, you know, the devil made me do it. That sounds good on the surface, but I want you to listen with every fiber of your being. I want you to listen with every fiber of your... Let me ask you a question. If Satan could make you sin, if Satan could push you into sin, why are you not sinning right now? Second question. If Satan could make you sin, why in the world does he go through all the temptation process when he could just push you over the cliff to sin? Why do you find all throughout the Bible Satan tempting and luring and baiting people all throughout the Word of God? He just gives the lure and he gives the bait. And here's what he knows that he don't ever want you to know, believe, or realize in your life. He don't want you to realize for one second that you choose whether you sin. The Bible says everyone is drawn away and enticed of his own lust. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, notice what you don't find. You don't find Satan holding Adam and Eve down, cramming the fruit in their mouth. That's making somebody do it. Satan doesn't do that. You know why? He knows. Listen, he knows he cannot make you sin. He knows he cannot make you surrender to temptation. He knows this. He can just dangle the bait in front of you. And as long as he dangles the bait in front of you and you bite, you have made the decision to sin. You have made the decision to disobey God. You have made the decision to disobey God's word. And you see, the thing about it is, we oftentimes many people live that way. I just can't help myself. That's a lie. Let me ask you this. If you can't help yourself, then greater is he that's in the world than Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you know the truth of God, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you if you're a born-again believer. And that's exactly what the Bible says. But another reality we have to face is our deadly enemy when it comes to temptation. Look at number three very quickly. Let me tell you why Satan leads you to blame somebody else. Here's what he knows. That as long as you don't take responsibility, it's never going to be free. Let me give you an example. Maybe it happened on purpose. I said, my wife doesn't, she does the driving. I just sit behind the wheel. I apologize. I should not have said that. She is one of the greatest gifts. Listen. Here's why. Listen. You will always be stuck. You'll never have freedom. You'll never have joy. You'll never have anything more than where you continually on the treadmill as long as you play the blame game. And here's what you found out over and over and over again. You've tried to walk right, you maybe walk down the aisle and repent and given your life to the Lord, and you just keep blaming. Here's what's got to happen. There's got to come a point and you realize, I'm to blame. I'm to blame. My behavior is my responsibility. Listen, many people won't do that. And I find Christians that they may be 60, 70, 80 years of age, and they're stuck about the age of 16 or 15 or 14. You know why they don't? They don't ever accept blame. It's not their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. Listen, you'll never have joy. And one of the best examples is King David. The Bible says he had sex with Bathsheba, and you know what happened? She became pregnant. She became pregnant. The baby died. Can you imagine the destructiveness? Having sex with Bathsheba and realizing what he had done to himself, violated his body, violated the body of Bathsheba, and it wasn't anybody's fault but his own. Now, men, every time you sin, it's not your wife's fault. It's your fault. Wives, when you choose to sin, it's not your husband's fault. It's your fault. And here's what David found out. The blame game has got to stop. The Bible records what happened in his life. You know, sometimes we think, well, Pastor, I just don't believe I can be free. That's just impossible. Bible says in Luke, nothing's impossible with God. When you take ownership every day of your life and every day of your actions, notice what I said, every day, there is something that happens. There's a freedom, there's a joy, there's a tranquility. You know, after lust and sexual sin, David accepted responsibility. I want you to notice what he did, because it's what you have to do and I have to do whenever we yield to temptation. First of all, he realized God wasn't out to hurt him. Now, let me say this. When you feel that gnawing, horrendous conviction on the inside of your heart, God's not hurting you. He's out to set you free. He wants you to be free. Second of all, he owned up to his personal sins. Listen to me very carefully. There is something very wonderful about getting on your knees before God and saying, Father, it's nobody's fault but mine. I shouldn't have said what I said or did what I did or behaved the way I behaved. I accept ownership. I ask you now to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, and thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. And you know what happens? You get up a clean person. Let me ask you something. When you are filthy, dirty, maybe from mowing the yard and cleaning out from under your mower and you see all that grass and that grass stain on you, you don't pray that it goes away, do you? You don't get on your knees and say, Lord, would you just please get this off of me? You know what you got to do. You got to hit the showers. Get that soap, get that water, get that washcloth, and get all that gook off of you. Takes a little time, but think about what happens afterwards. You feel refreshed, you feel clean. Now, listen to me very carefully. David stopped blaming. He said, I've sinned. Sometime in your own time, read Psalms 51. You'll not find a man passing the buck to anybody. It was nobody's fault but his own. And you know what happened? He went from pit life to a powerful life in just a short time. His heart was free, his life was free, and that's exactly what will happen to you. If your life is still stuck in a warp and you're wondering, what's wrong? Be honest. Would you answer this question quietly in your heart? Would you answer this before we have prayer? Number one, am I accepting all the blame for my yielding? Am I accepting all the blame? Number two, am I admitting it before God and letting Him set me free? You see, He knows you're going to do it, but here's the joy of it. When you know the truth and you claim the truth and walk in the truth, He sets you free in ways you can't comprehend. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, your truth, your peace, and Father, for the reminder that, Lord, you come to set us free. You come that we could have freedom, we could have joy. And Father, we ask you this morning, that person who is maybe stuck in an area in their life, Father, we pray for them. Father, you forgive us. But Father, remind us that there's accountability. Accountability that we take because we stand before you. Satan won't give account for our life. We will. Satan won't give account for our attitude. We will. Satan won't give account for us falling. We will. And Father, I pray for that person this morning who needs your forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They need to be saved. Holy Spirit, I pray that you draw all whom you would this morning to you. Have your will and your way. In Jesus we pray.